This is Lorne Green. It is early spring in 1879. Driven by starvation and hardship, a small band of Northern Cheyenne has taken refuge with their allies, the Sioux, at the Pine Ridge Agency in South Dakota. On this night, Dull Knife, an old man chief of the Cheyenne, has called his few remaining warriors to his lodge. There, he invites those spirits held sacred by the Cheyenne to smoke the ritual pipe with him, and in so doing, to give their blessing to what is about to be said.
Thank you for coming to my lodge, my friends. I have nothing to say that has not been said before. But there is one among us who will leave us soon, and it is for him that I ask you here. Listen to the words of Two Stars.
I thank my friend Dull Knife for asking you to his lodge. May the words I say here be true, and may the Spirit above and the Mother Earth help me in this matter. We have been through much together, my friends, but I am sad at this meeting, for I know that the time will come soon when even friends such as we may not be permitted to gather in such a way. How did we come to such a place? It was only a few summers ago that we joined our friends the Sioux to stop Custer and the Long Knives. That should have been the end of our troubles, but it was not.
And that is only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week, brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, Death Song, A Cheyenne Memory, by Steve Sharon. Our stars, Len Berman, Marvin Miller, and Vic Perrin.
After the defeat of Custer and the 7th Cavalry, the demands from the East to remove the Indians from their lands became more insistent. In exchange for peace, the Northern Cheyenne were promised food for the hungry and a reservation on their own land in northwest Nebraska. And so they surrendered. And then the promises were broken. Like so many cattle, they were herded south to the Oklahoma Territory to join the Arapaho and Southern Cheyenne on an already overcrowded agency. Unaccustomed to the hot, humid conditions and the scanty food rations, the tribe soon became sick with malaria, dysentery, and starvation. By the summer of 1878, two-thirds of the nearly 1,000 Northern Cheyenne had died. The warrior, Two Stars, has not forgotten how his people suffered.
The soldiers would not let us live in peace after Custer. We were driven into the hills and the winter was hard. We surrendered. You all know how we were betrayed by the yes-sayers among us. We were sent south to live away, far away from our own country. The soldiers kept us in that place for a year. There was a sickness among our people, and every lodge was filled with the death songs. How empty I felt to see my wife, White Bird, and my two sons sick with that thing.
Two Stars. White Bird is dead. The sickness.
Oh, Plum Man, if I could see this sickness, if I knew where it came from, I would go there and fight it.
It is this country. It is too hot. Our people cannot live here.
The country is not to blame, Plum Man. It's the whites that bring the sickness.
Here in this place, there are also Arapaho and Southern Cheyenne. Why is it only Northern Cheyenne who have the sickness? No, Two Stars. This place is unhealthy. We must leave here.
The soldiers could not keep the sickness from our lodges. Soon, every man was for leaving, even those who once had said we should come south. We went to the agency to speak to Miles, the agent. Our chiefs then were Little Wolf and Dull Knife, who had the respect of both our people and the whites.
Now then, Dull Knife, Little Wolf, what is it you've come to say?
Fred Miles, we are going home.
You know you can't go home, Dull Knife. You and your people promised to stay here in Oklahoma.
For 1 year. Now we go.
Well, I'm afraid the Army just ain't about to let you go back to Nebraska, and that's a fact.
This is bad country. Our people die every day.
I'm sorry about that. Truly I am. But I've only got one doctor to take care of 5,000 people, and I'm doing the best I can. Now, I've asked for medical supplies, and I'm sure that when they get here, things will be better for you and your people. Until then, you just have to make do as best you can.
No. If we stay, none will be left to go home.
And if you leave, Little Wolf, how many do you think will be left after the soldiers get through with you? Can't you see, man? I'm trying to save you.
Save us for what? The white man's sickness?
If we die here and go to the burial rocks, no one will speak our names. So we go north. And if we die in battle, then at least our names will be sung around the campfires.
Don't be a fool, Little Wolf. If you leave now, the soldiers will punish those who stay as well. Their blood will be on your hands.
We are going home. If you send the soldiers after us, wait until we are far away. Then we will fight, and those who stay will not suffer.
That night, those of us that had strong hearts left our lodges standing empty beneath the big guns and began the long trail north. 1,000 Cheyenne had come south. Less than 300 were left to return. We had few horses and few guns, but Cheyenne have always been fast runners. But few of us could outrun the soldier horses. And in the evening of the third day, we watched from a hilltop and saw them far down below us. The soldiers had found our trail.
There. See how the setting sun shines on their long knives.
So, the soldiers come as Miles said they would.
We must be ready for them.
No, Two Stars. There are too many. We must not fight until we have to.
The soldiers will hunt us down like buffalo.
You forget, Little Wolf. Buffalo cannot fight on the run. Cheyenne can.
Was there any doubt in our hearts that the soldiers' only thoughts were of killing us? What could we do to escape their guns but run faster? Day after day they chased us, forcing us to fight on the run.
Soldiers from the north, right in our path!
Women and children back! Warriors, keep moving! Drive them east!
Little Wolf, we need rest. The women and children cannot keep up this pace.
Soon, Dull Knife, soon, when the soldiers sleep.
Every day was the same, always running. Our only chance for rest was at night when the soldiers made camp. Dull Knife and I smoked the ritual pipe and asked the spirits to protect us from our enemies. It's been a long time since I've smoked the pipe away from the stink of soldiers. When we reach our own lands, we will join with the Sioux again and drive them out.
No, Two Stars. I am thinking that our time is over. The whites are too many. Their villages are too big. Not even the Sioux can drive them away.
Dull Knife, you were a great warrior, a dog soldier. Now you would give up so easily?
That was long ago. Now I am tired of running. So are my people. They only wish to stop and live in peace.
We cannot give up now. Not after so many of us lie unburied along the trail.
If we give up in our own country, we will not be sent south. We can make the whites promise that...
What white man has ever kept his word? You've seen how they will not let us live in our own land. The whites want it for their own, as if the Mother Earth is something to be kept. You cannot surrender.
This running and fighting is now a way of life for us.
You are old now, Dull Knife, but there are young men here who would fight before they went south.
I know they would follow Little Wolf. I must think of my people first.
If you were young, Dull Knife, you would fight.
I am not young. And now we must make peace with the whites. Come. We have a long way to go yet.
I would sit a while longer.
A time will come when our people will have to give up to the soldiers or they will be no more. Remember that I am chief. I must think of the people.
Remember that I am not chief.
No, Two Stars, you are not. But you are Cheyenne.
300 Cheyenne, mostly old men, women, and children, have left their fever-stricken agency in Oklahoma and are fleeing across Kansas toward their own homeland in northwest Nebraska. Determined to kill or capture the small band, the War Department has set all its resources in motion. But troops and supplies are stretched thin on the frontier, and communication is difficult. Bogged down in bureaucratic red tape and conflicting orders, the cavalry is unable to deploy its troops effectively. Meanwhile, the Cheyenne continue to march steadily northward, stopping only to fight off attacking soldiers. As Two Stars recalls, the cavalry was not the only obstacle the Cheyenne had to overcome.
The running was harder now because our food was almost gone. When we reached the Arkansas River, we captured a party of whites. They were hide hunters.
There will be no killing. Our fight is only with the soldiers. Take all their guns and bullets and tie the whites to the wagons.
I am against letting men such as these live. But you are chief.
Take the whites away. There is a small herd of buffalo across the river. We need as much food as we can get.
We cannot stop now. The soldiers are too close.
How can we go on with no food, Little Wolf? This may be the only herd we come across. The people are tired and hungry. A hunt will take their minds off our troubles.
Very well, Dull Knife. We hunt. But the soldiers will come. We should be ready to fight.
Yes, there will be another fight.
While the men hunted, the women dug pits to protect us from the soldiers' guns. We ate meat, the first in days, and rested, waiting for the battle that was to come.
Is everything ready, Dull Knife?
The women and children are back with the horses. It will be a hard fight, Little Wolf. There are only 40 warriors left to stop the soldiers. And we...
Many soldiers come! More than before, they bring big guns!
Hear me, Cheyenne! This is a good place to die, but it must be the soldiers who die here. We must make them afraid of us. Have we come so far to die before we reach our homeland?
I am not ashamed to say I was afraid. The holes that were dug not seem deep enough to save us from the big guns.
Steady, Cheyenne! The great spirit above will not desert us. The spirits of those who have suffered at the hands of the whites are with us. Have you not heard the wind bringing us the voices of our dead? Have you not seen their tears drop from the skies? They cry to see us humbled by the whites. They say, let the whites be driven back upon the trail of blood they have made. Be brave. Let them come. Remember, you are Cheyenne.
Little Wolf seemed without fear, like some wild bear. No Cheyenne who saw him that day could be afraid. We drove them back. The great spirit above had not deserted us. But we were not happy. We had lost many brave warriors. We ran for days and nights without stopping. The scouts were kept out far behind, always watching. We crossed the Republican River, and no soldiers came. Then the South Platte, and still no soldiers came. Some took this as a sign that the whites were beaten. But it was in my mind that the soldiers' chiefs were only confused and would soon be after us with even more soldiers than before. Finally, we reached our own land in the country the whites call Nebraska. We stopped to rest and take counsel. We were home at last.
My friends, the soldiers have stopped following us for a while, but we must decide what to do. I say we should go to our old agency at Pine Ridge, where we will find Red Cloud and the Sioux.
They will be waiting for us with the iron ropes.
It is our right to come back. We made use of that agency before we went south. It is our right to use it again.
You have seen what rights we have, Dull Knife. We cannot go to that place.
What would you have us do, Little Wolf? Fight all winter? Look about you. Many of our people are lost or dead from the running, yet you would have them fight on. You have acted as a warrior instead of a chief.
I would rather fight than go to the agency like a whipped dog.
Then you are a fool. Winter comes and there is little food left. You will only make it easy for the soldiers by starving to death.
I will not give up to the whites. There are those that would rather fight than be sent south.
Then let them choose the chief they will follow.
You see, Dull Knife, most of the young men think as I do.
Perhaps. But Two Stars and Plum Man have not chosen.
Two Stars, Plum Man, come with me. Warriors like you should help drive the soldiers from our land.
My heart is with you, Little Wolf, but your thoughts are of war when they should be with your people. I go with Dull Knife.
And I...
It is wrong for the people to be split apart like this. We should stay together, Dull Knife.
Then come with us to the Pine Ridge Agency.
Never.
And so the people were divided. For 3 days, 148 Cheyenne walked behind Dull Knife to the agency. Already the air carried the sting of winter. The creeks were icy and the rain fell hard and cold.
The heart has been torn from these people. They could not stand another fight.
Little Wolf was right. The whites will not help us.
Then why did you choose to follow me?
My family is gone. There are old people and children here. I would not see them shot down. I'm here to protect them.
You begin to think like a chief, Two Stars.
No, I would not want to be a chief.
Whites know only treachery. We must learn to smile while we kill, as they do. Take first, then ask. We must forget the old ways and become white.
To be white is to become an animal, or worse.
If you do not act like the whites do, then you will follow the path of those that lie back on the trail.
All Cheyenne follow that path.
Dull Knife, soldiers are all around the agency. Red Cloud has been placed in the House of Stone. He has become a yes-sayer of the whites and says for us to give up.
To be sent south?
After all this running. What are we to do now?
Try to join Little Wolf.
The first snow will fall soon. We have no meat, no shelter, nowhere to go. Little Wolf will be proud to see that he was right.
The first storm of winter came, and all we could do to stay warm was keep walking. But we did not go far. They stood before us like mounted bears in their skin coats and beaver hats. The soldiers had found us.
I'm Captain Johnson, 3rd Cavalry. Which one of you is chief? Which one?
I am Dull Knife. We have come home. We do not wish to fight.
Good. You need food. We'll feed your people and give them shelter.
We will not be sent south.
We mean you no harm. We only wish to help.
We do not need the help of whites.
You'll die out there, Dull Knife. Look at your children and the old ones. Be sensible. Come with us to our camp.
Very well. We will come. But we will not be sent south.
The Army's disorganized campaign to recapture the determined Cheyenne had failed. Once the tribe reached home in northwest Nebraska, they split into two bands. It was on the morning of October 23rd, 1878, while attempting to rejoin Little Wolf, that Dull Knife and his band were captured by a troop of the 3rd Cavalry. The Cheyenne were taken to the soldiers' camp and there confined to a makeshift stockade.
Move along, Injun. You can warm yourself with the fire in the stockade.
Just look at them, Sergeant. Sick, starving, half frozen to death. It's hard to believe they've come 1,500 miles with half the U.S. cavalry chasing after them.
Yeah, they're tough people, all right. But mark my words, Captain, they ain't whooped yet. Not by a long shot. You give them half a chance, they'll lift our scalps quick as you please.
Well, I can't let them starve because of something they might do. You make sure they have hot food and some blankets, Sergeant. You see, something can't be done about those children. Their feet must be frozen solid.
Yeah, if you say so, sir.
3 days we rested, and the soldier, Chief Johnson, was good to us.
Beg pardon, Captain.
Yes, Sergeant, what is it?
Well, it's the men, Captain. They ain't too happy about you letting those Injuns keep their guns.
I fully intend to confiscate their weapons, Sergeant. I've allowed the Cheyenne to keep them this long as a show of trust.
I wouldn't trust them cursed devils as far as
I'm aware of your feelings, Sergeant. No matter. I'm sure Dullknife knows by now that our intentions are peaceful. He shouldn't give us any trouble from now on. You take a detail and collect the guns from the Cheyenne.
Yes, sir.
Now it looked as if the soldiers would kill us as they had done in other places.
Detail, draw weapons.
Sergeant, there's no need for that.
Yes, sir. Troops, at ease.
Dullknife, I must have all your guns and ammunition. Also the horses.
We will not be left helpless.
There'll be trouble if you don't give me the guns.
This is what happened when we were sent south. We will not let that happen again.
Well, I'll see that it doesn't happen as before.
I am against it, Dullknife. They wish to make us helpless.
I've given my word. There will be no trouble.
Very well. I would not see my people shot down over some old guns and tired horses.
Oh, thank you, Dullknife.
In return, you must take down the fences. We are not animals that need to be penned up.
That's fair enough. Another soldier chief will come in a few days. He will say what's to be done with your people. But I'll try to see that you stay here in Nebraska.
We gave the soldiers some of our guns. The rest were hidden so that we were not left defenseless. Johnson was a good man. But it was the bad whites that were often the big chiefs. The man who rode into the stockade the next day was one of those.
Are you, Johnson?
That's right.
Captain Wessels, Fort Robinson. I'm here to take over the prisoners.
I've had no orders to turn over custody of these people. I was expecting General Crook.
This gives me authorization. You permit these scum to wander about the camp like this?
They're people, Captain, not scum. If it weren't for the fact that they were starving to death, we'd still be chasing them all over God's country.
Now, you call them what you like. I'm just here to see that they get back to the fort.
They're not going to like this.
Who cares what they like? Just tell them to be ready to move within the hour.
That's impossible. There are children and sick people to deal with. Besides, they'll never agree to going to Fort Robinson. They'll see it as the first step back to Oklahoma.
Captain Johnson, you've been relieved of your command. I suggest, Captain, you carry out your orders.
Dullknife, this officer has come to take you and your people to Fort Robinson.
Fort Robinson? To be sent south again.
We will die first.
That does not mean you will be sent to Oklahoma. Only to Fort Robinson, where you can be fed and cared for.
Cheyenne are not a people to be cared for like little white children. Leave us to make our own way.
This man is no longer in command. Now, from now on, you'll take your orders from me.
We will not go to Fort Robinson.
Very well. Sergeant, have your men draw weapons and prepare to fire.
Wait. We will go to the fort, but not to the South Country. That we will never do.
Get your people ready. We leave within the hour.
I'm sorry, Dullknife. I'll do what I can to stop them from sending you south. I wish I could promise you the justice you deserve.
Justice is an empty word like all white words. But you have acted better than most white men. For that, we thank you.
So we changed from the hands of one man to the hands of another, as if we were the white man's paper money. The death song was on our lips and the fear in our hearts as we entered Fort Robinson, It was a place built to keep people in rather than to keep them out. No matter what the whites told us, we were still prisoners. We had not been there a day when Dullknife was called to the new soldier chief's lodge.
Dullknife, I've received new orders about your people.
What is to be done?
The fighting is over. We're supposed to be friendly to one another.
Then we are free to leave?
Not that friendly. You and your people must stay here for 3 months. Then the government will decide what to do with you.
We will not go south.
That's not for you to decide. If I had my way, you'd be dead. However, just to show you that my heart's in the right place, you have the freedom of the post. Go anywhere you like. But each night at supper time, your people must return to the barracks.
We want no trouble.
That's the idea, Chief. Sergeant, put them in the old barracks for now. Search all the men and confiscate any weapons you find.
Yes, sir.
Oh, and Dullknife, don't get any ideas about running away. If one of you leaves, I'll shoot the rest.
We are home now. There will be no trouble.
We were searched again and put in the wooden lodge, but the soldiers found no more guns because the women had them hidden.
What is to be done?
Our troubles are over for now, Plum Man.
That soldier chief is just like all bad whites. He would have us dead.
Two Stars is right, Dullknife. This Wessels is one who needs killing.
No, Plum Man. He is not a big chief. There are others that tell him what to do. I think we will be treated fairly.
The whites do not treat the Cheyenne fairly. I am for leaving.
And I.
And if the young men leave, what will happen to the women and children? No, we must wait. For a while, at least.
I am not chief. I did not say we should come here. There are others that feel the same way.
So, you are like Little Wolf. What kind of Cheyenne do you call yourself that you do not think of the others? If one man leaves, all will be killed.
Then what do we do?
When the time is right, we will...
Tangled Hair and a small raiding party of Sioux were headed in this direction. And I need scouts to help track them down.
Why come to us?
Well, in exchange for your service, you'll be given extra blankets and food.
There is no honor in such a thing. The Sioux are our friends.
If you're smart, you'll forget that and help yourselves.
Friendship is a thing not forgotten by the Cheyenne.
You don't want the extra blankets and food? That's fine with me. I'm just trying to help you. Ungrateful, bloody savages.
You see, Dullknife, the whites try to make us like them. I will never become white and turn against old friends.
Lorne Greene again, and here's the fourth act of Death Song, the Cheyenne Memory.
The next 3 months at Fort Robinson went by slowly. It was a cold winter, but we were treated well. Many saw this as a sign that we would not be sent south, but it was in my mind that this was a way of the soldiers to trick us into going back. To keep their hearts strong, we told the young boys stories of better days.
It saddens me to see our people in a place like this. Sad when I think of the days of my youth. When the Cheyenne were many.
Our warriors were like huge bears, and the white soldiers were like wolves that stay in their dens.
But in those days, we cut the wolves outside their dens, as it was done at Fetterman. Remember, Two Stars?
It was the winter after my dance on the pole.
The Sioux, Cheyenne, and Arapaho came together to drive the whites from our lands and to stop the building of forts among the graves of our dead.
That night, Plum Man and I were taken to the lodge of the soldier chief. Only bad could come from talking to such a man. He was a white that had the stink of death about him.
The sergeant tells me you two had a part in the Fetterman massacre. Now write down the names of all the Cheyenne present in this fort that had any part in the massacre, and I'll let you two go. Well?
I don't reckon they can write, Captain.
Take down the names, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
He is wrong. We were not at the place you talk of.
Is that right, Sergeant?
I heard him talking about it myself, Captain.
It was a story told to us by others.
Don't lie to me, Injun. What's your name?
Two Stars.
Well, let me tell you, Two Stars. My brother was one of those you killed that day. Now, you give me those names or I'll have you shot. Very well. Sergeant, see that these two are locked away from the others and kept there until the Cheyenne moves south.
You will send us south?
Oh, no, not you two. You'll be dead by then. But the rest of your scum are being sent away back where they belong.
No! Woman, wait!
Get that other engine. I want him dead.
Plum Man had escaped. I was beaten until I could no longer feel the pain. Then I was made to stand in a box of iron with iron ropes about my wrists. It was a punishment that only a white man could think of. A box for the dead. Only I was alive.
Hey, engine. Two Stars, you hear me?
I hear.
Now you give me the names of those who took part in the Fetterman massacre, and you can come out. Suit yourself, then. See how long you'll last in that box.
Captain, the Cheyenne have barricaded themselves in the barracks.
What?
And they're armed. Their squaws must have hid the guns in their clothes.
Damn, I should have had the women searched as well.
You want me to order the men to break in?
No. No, there's a better way. Dullknife, I order you and your people to come out of that barracks. Very well. No food or water until you come out. Now, just to show you I'm a fair man, send out the women and children. This is January, the middle of winter. No food or water, Dullknife. No wood for the stove. How long do you think you'll last? Well, have it your way, then. When you do come out, you'll be punished. Just as Two Stars is being punished now.
Every day for a week, the soldier chief came to talk to Dullknife. They had no food, no water, no way to keep warm. Still, my people would not give in. I was proud to be Cheyenne. Then came the sound which I have heard in my sleep ever since. What I feared most came true that night. Dullknife and the others broke out of the barracks. They were trying to escape, but the soldiers were waiting with guns. My people were shot down. Of all times, that night was the saddest night of all. The next day, the iron box was opened and I was let out. My legs were weak from standing, my lips swollen and cracked. But I was not hungry for food, only for the death of those whites.
Now would you go south?
Finish the killing.
You stupid engine.
64 Cheyenne dead, Captain. 78 prisoners been recaptured, but about 12 are still missing, including Dullknife.
Very good, Sergeant. We'll keep the patrols out. As for you, engine, you can see it does no good to try and escape. I want you to tell your people to go to Oklahoma peacefully.
Hear me. We would rather die from bullets here than from the sickness in the South. Send us to live with this.
Damn you people for being so stubborn. Very well. Some of your people can go to the Pine Ridge Agency, but the troublemakers will be sent back to Oklahoma.
None will go south.
Don't push me, Injun. You and those I choose go south, or I'll shoot the whole damn bunch of you.
So I made only one decision as a leader of the Cheyenne, and no more blood was spilled. The men were sent south, but I escaped from the soldiers and found my friend Plum Man living in the hills. The old way was hard now. The buffalo were gone. The whites were clever. They killed the buffalo and my people at the same time. Our bellies were empty. We needed food. But when Plum Man tried to take a white man's cow, he was shot down. The killer of Plum Man is also dead. I have seen to it. And now, I have come to Pine Ridge so that all of you who remained may know all that has happened. The spirit above and the Mother Earth know that the words I have spoken are true.
My friends, you have heard what Two Stars has to say. You were brought here because the soldiers have found the white man Two Stars killed. The yes-sayers among us have already told the soldier chief at Robinson that Two Stars is here at Pine Ridge. If he is caught, the soldiers will hang him with a rope. Two Stars, you have asked my counsel, and now I give it. You must go far away before the soldiers come. You must go to Canada and live with Sitting Bull's people.
No. I am tired of running from the whites. Send a man to the soldier chief and tell him I am guilty. Tell him I will not be choked by the white man's rope. I will die like a Cheyenne.
On an early spring morning in 1879, a detail of troops from Fort Robinson came to the Pine Ridge Agency to arrest the Cheyenne Two Stars. The troops, under the command of Captain Wessels, deployed for a charge 50 yards from the village, and there halted with weapons drawn.
Sergeant, I want this engine captured alive. No firing unless I give the order.
Yes, sir.
Two Stars, you are hereby charged with murder. Will you surrender peacefully?
It is a good day to die.
What the hell's he doing, Sergeant?
Earth, have pity.
He's chanting, Captain.
Sky, see your son.
Oh, he's chanting his death song.
It is better to die fighting. It is a good day to die. Hey.
With the memory of all that his people had suffered still fresh in his mind, Two Stars charged Captain Wessels and his troops. The Cheyenne would be avenged this day. Shouldering his carbine, Two Stars took aim.
Captain!
Captain Wessels slumped to the ground, a bullet deep in his chest.
Troop! Fire!
Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you five nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, Death Song, A Cheyenne Memory, was written by Steve Sherrod and produced and directed by Fletcher Markle. Your host was Lauren Green. Our stars were Len Berman, Marvin Miller, and Vic Perrin. Featured in the cast were John Larch, True Boardman, and Parley Bear. John Harlan speaking. The Elliott Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CBI. Mutual Radio Theater has been brought to you in part by Sears, a name that means quality and value, a name that you can count on for service and dependability. Sears, where America shops for value. And by Pillsbury Frosting Supreme, so smooth and creamy you can spread it with a paper knife.
This is Andy Griffin. Tomorrow at this same time, by golly, we're going to work on your funny bone. Join us, won't you? Just for laughs.